Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How are you? Please ignore this as I forgot my sermon in the bag. Hey, there we go. I could have done it from memory, but that's just, be a little awkward. Super excited to be here with you. What a great Sunday, church.
Amen.
Right? It's always a great day when you can start off with a baptism. I mean, come on, right?
Amen.
Like, come on, yeah. So let's try the energy thing again. Good morning, church! Yeah, there we go. Have you guys been enjoying our kingdom series so far? Good. No would have been a wrong answer. I know I have been really enjoying this. When Jeff and I put our heads together back in, we were talking about how we were going to start the year off, this is the series that I was pumped about. Because for me, kingdom is a big deal. I'm a CIY kid, right? I grew up going to CIY, junior high, high school, college. I take kids to CIY. And at CIY, the idea of kingdom work is a cornerstone of everything that they believe in. The idea that every single one of us is called to participate in the work of the kingdom, that we all have our unique gifts, talents, and abilities, our time and our resources, that we can use for the benefit of the kingdom of God. And so today, we're going to be talking about having a kingdom mindset every single day of our life. Every single day, having this mindset that is focused on the kingdom of Jesus, focused on the cross of Jesus Christ, and living our life in a way that acknowledges that Jesus is both my Savior, but also my Lord. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. That's the direction that we're going. We just prayed, so I'm not going to pray again because, prayer's great, but let's just keep rolling here. So last week, Jeff talked about this idea of kingship, of lordship. The idea that when we follow Jesus Christ, we accept him as our Savior. Yes, right? He saves us from our sin. But we also, when we accept the gifts and the benefits of the grace that he offers on the cross, we also accept the burden and the yoke that comes from the kingship of Jesus Christ, right? He is our Lord and he is our Savior. You cannot have one without the other. You can't just say, God, I want you to save me from my sin and not allow him to transform and change your life. In the same way, God cannot transform and change your life without receiving the grace that he offers because of that obedience, because of our submission to him as Lord. And that's a foundational principle of what a kingdom mindset is. Julie, this is the part where I point. Yeah. This is what a kingdom mindset is, right? It says that because Jesus died for me, I will dedicate and live my life for him. Say it again. Because Jesus died for me, I will dedicate my life and live for him. That's the definition, in my mind, of what a kingdom mindset is. It's acknowledging the fact that my life has been bought with a price. My life is no longer my own. My priorities, my wants, my desires are now secondary to the desires and the priorities of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Lord and King of my life. That's a kingdom mindset. This is what my entire challenge today is going to be to get you to accept. That Jesus died for you, so you need to dedicate and live your life for him. We find this idea in Matthew chapter 6, right? Jesus is doing what we call the Sermon on the Mount. He's preaching. It's his longest recorded sermon. And during this particular part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about worry. He's talking about anxiety. He's talking about how as humans we are so concerned about our well-being and we're so concerned about the future. And Jesus offers us an alternative. He begins in verse 31 saying, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of his own. Right? Jesus is saying, because of who I am, because of what I am in your life, don't worry about food. Don't worry about clothing. Don't worry about your future. Don't make all of these plans and fail to not live for me. Right? Seek first my kingdom. Seek first my righteousness. All your wants, all your desires, all the things that you care about, those come second. And if you do that, right, if you follow me, if you accept my burden, if you accept my yoke, if you accept my lordship, I'll take care of you. But you need to seek first my priority. Seek first my kingdom. Seek first my way of living. Now, I know that this idea is much easier to say in a sermon than it is necessarily to live out in my life. Because we live in a culture that is anything but kingdom-minded. Right? We live in a world that is anything but kingdom-focused. We live in a world that is all about self. Right? We approach our world, we approach our friendships, we approach our relationships oftentimes with this idea of, what do I get from this? How do I benefit from this? How do I spin this scenario so that Josh comes out looking pretty? Right? We even start talking about church in that way. Right? How many of you have gone home on a Sunday and had a conversation where you said, I didn't like that service? That service was too long for me. I wanted more hymns. I wanted more contemporary music. I like this preacher better. I like this preacher better. Me, 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 me. Right? We are self-focused and selfish in our way of living because we live in a culture that is self-focused and selfish. Kingdom mindset is anything but selfish focus. Right? Kingdom-minded is kingdom-focused. It's other-focused. It's living for Jesus. It's going home from church and saying, wow, what a great Sunday for me to invite my friends to. Wow, that sermon really motivated me to move and work and labor for the kingdom of God, right? It's transforming our mind, transforming our mindset to focus on the cause in Christ, the cause and mission of Jesus, and the cause and focus of the gospel. In the book of Romans, Paul says this, chapter 12, verse 1. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, when you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Right? Kingdom mindset says, I am not living for myself. Right? Kingdom mindset says that I am going to be transformed by the King that I follow, by the King that I worship, and I am going to live my life as a living sacrifice to that King. That's true proper worship. Not singing, not any other thing we can think about. True proper worship is to sacrifice my own wants, my own desires, and my very life for the sake and the cause of the kingdom. That's true worship. And true worship, true kingdom mindset says that the King of Kings is transforming me. He's changing how I see the world. He's changing how I interact with the world. He's changing how I live my very life. I need you to understand something today, friends. Kingdom work, kingdom mindset, following Jesus, it's not a spectator sport. You can't just show up on church on Sunday, sit in a pew, and be following Jesus in the way that you are supposed to be following Jesus. Again, when we accept Jesus as Lord, Savior, we accept him as Lord, and that requires participation. That requires kingdom work. That requires prioritizing the kingdom of God. That requires sacrificing my own wants and desires for the cause and the mission of the kingdom of God. You cannot be a spectator. You cannot sit on the bench. You need to get into the game. It is your mission and the call that Jesus has placed on your life when you accepted his grace and his mercy. Matthew chapter 9, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he has a statement that is both hopeful and also depressing, all at the same time. Verse 35, Matthew writes that Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Friends, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. I truly believe that the harvest is plentiful right here in Bahama. The harvest is plentiful in Champaign and Urbana and Sadorus and Savoy and Fisher and still all these places whose names I'm still learning, but I say in sermons, so you act like I pay attention. The harvest is plentiful. There are people in your orbit, there are people in your life right now that if you give the right push, if you step into their life in an act of sacrificial kingdom work, if you step into their life and you be the hands and feet of Jesus, if you step into their life at the right moment, that harvest is ready, and that person may accept Jesus if you step in and get off the bench and get in the game. I'm not saying that if you decide to be a kingdom worker right now, you're going to get 50 converts in the first week. That's not how it works. It's not easy, but the harvest is plentiful. But the problem that Jesus identifies is a big one. The workers are few. See, Jesus understood that there are going to be people that claim to follow him and that claim to love him that never actually followed Jesus out into the harvest field. That there's going to be people who want to accept the beauty and the grace and the mercy that is Jesus' death on the cross without accepting Jesus as the Lord and King of their life. Friends, you cannot follow Jesus without following Jesus. You cannot follow Jesus and stay with the 99 sheep. You have to leave and go and find the lost sheep. You cannot follow Jesus and not follow the Lord out into the harvest field. This is not a spectator sport. Kingdom mindset, kingdom living, kingdom work is a all hands on deck kind of thing that every single person in this room, if you put Jesus on in baptism, has been called to go and do. You have been called to kingdom work. You have been called to the harvest field. You have been called to follow your shepherd out into the pursuit of lost sheep. And it is my sincere hope and prayer today that you catch that vision. That you get off the bench. And that you get into the game. Because when you read the Bible, when you read stuff like the separating the sheep and the goats, there are going to be people who thought they knew Jesus. Who thought they had a relationship with Jesus. And Jesus is going to look at them and say, "Away from me, I hardly knew you." Because they never accepted and followed him as the Lord of their life. And I love you guys. And I don't want anyone to not hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So it's time for every single one of us to adopt a kingdom mindset, to get in the game and get to work. We've all been called to run this race. We've all been called to fight this fight. We've all been called to use our gifts, our talents, our abilities, our resources, and our time for the cause of the kingdom of God. There are no qualifications. It doesn't matter if you're a doctor, a nurse, a teacher, a banker, a farmer, a high school student, a college dropout. The only qualification for kingdom work, the only qualification for having a kingdom mindset is that you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior and put him on in baptism. Congrats, you're qualified. Now go get to work. Go do the work that you've been called to do. Make no bones about it, it's not going to be easy, Right? If you decide today that you want to be a kingdom worker, if you decide today that you want to have a kingdom mindset, if you get off the bench and get in the game, you might get hurt. Right? When you sit on the bench, nothing bad can happen to you. When you get in the game, you can roll your ankle. I do that all the time. Anytime I try to do that athletic, I roll my ankle. Oh no, it's not fun, right? If Satan's never come after you in your life, if Satan's never tried to destroy you, it's probably because you aren't actually doing anything for the kingdom of God. And if you start acting for the kingdom, if you start living for the kingdom, he's going to come after you. The Bible tells us that our enemy is like a roaring lion looking around to seek and kill and destroy us. And he wants to destroy you. Especially if you start actually living your life in a way that makes a difference in the kingdom of God. Especially if you start bringing people to the foot of the cross. Especially if you start being a kingdom worker in your job or a kingdom worker in your family. Having a kingdom mindset with how you do your finances and how you use your time and how you use your hobbies. But guys, I got good news. The battle is already over. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King that we serve, the King that we worship, the King that we follow, he's already won the battle. Right? He's already won the war. You might get beat up, you might fall on your face, but Jesus has already won the fight. And the only thing we're waiting for is the bell. And our job as a church is to get as many people across the finish line, as many people to the foot of the cross as we can, before that bell sounds. The fight's over. Satan can't destroy your soul. You have eternity with Jesus as your reward for the work that you're going to do for the kingdom of God. The fight's over, but you're still not in the game as much as you should be. Right? In John 16, Jesus says this, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Friends, Satan's already lost the fight. So why aren't you fighting? The victorious King of Kings is leading you into the mission field. The victorious King of Kings is leading you to the hearts and souls and minds of the people he's placed in your life for you to reach for the cause of the kingdom. You're a teacher in the school. You have a lot of people that you can lead to Jesus by how you live, and how you act, and how you treat people. You're an electrician, you're a waiter, you're whatever it is all y'all do that I don't know. You can use your gifts, you can use your talents, you can use your career field to transform hearts and minds for Muhammad, for Jesus here in Muhammad. You can be a kingdom worker right where you are. And I truly believe that if every single one of us embraces a kingdom mindset, if every single one of us starts to do the work that Jesus has called us to do, we're going to transform our schools. We're going to transform your place of work. You're going to transform your family. And it's not by voting for president. It's not for voting for school board. It's not for a petition. It's not because you put snarky stuff on Facebook. It's because of the transformational life change that happens when you lead people to the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. You want to change our world? Start winning souls to Jesus. You want to change the political atmosphere in this country? Start winning souls for Jesus. You want to change the depravity and the sin and all the evil that we see? Start winning souls for Jesus. You have the gifts. You have the talents. You have the resources. You have the opportunities. It's time to get off the bench and get in the game and start living your life as a kingdom-minded kingdom worker today. I want to leave you with one last scripture that is one of my favorite imageries in the entire Bible, one of my favorite images to picture. The author of Hebrews writes in chapter 12, he says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Friends, I want you to know right now, you are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. You're surrounded by the people of this church, and you are surrounded by those who have gone before you in death. You're surrounded by your parents and your grandparents, surrounded by people like Pastor David, who have left the church and they're with Jesus. And they are urging you to get off the bench. They are urging you to fix your eyes on Jesus and to run the race with perseverance, with a kingdom mindset, to pursue the lost people in your life and in your orbit. They are urging you to embrace the mission that God, your King and your Lord, has given you to work and to labor for the kingdom of God. And it's time for us to fix our eyes on the cross and get to work. No more spectating. No more waiting. Having a kingdom mindset says that every day I live for Jesus. Every day I prioritize his mission. Every day if I see a need in my community, I meet that need in the name of Jesus. Every time I see someone broken, I step in and I love them with the hands and feet of Jesus. Every opportunity, every chance, I choose kingdom over self. I choose King over Josh, and I live for Jesus in my life. It's time to embrace a kingdom mindset. It's time for us to get to work. It's time for us to labor. So now we're going to enter into a time of response. And I know this Sunday's already looked a little different, and it's going to look a little different as we close. High schooler, you didn't put it in the right spot. In the back, you'll see two crosses. And these crosses have some duct tape on it. I know, duct tape. You might be asking, why duct tape? To me, duct tape symbolizes endurance. Duct tape symbolizes perseverance. When something breaks, duct tape. Something's not working right, duct tape. You need to stabilize something, duct tape. Right? If you choose kingdom work, if you choose kingdom mindset, you're going to get beat up. You might fall flat on your face. You might sprain your ankle. You know what you can do for a sprained ankle? Duct tape. Right? You get a really nasty cut, you can put a band-aid on it, duct tape. Duct tape symbolizes endurance, symbolizes perseverance, and to me, duct tape symbolizes kingdom work no matter the cost. Kingdom work no matter the struggle. Kingdom mindset no matter what the enemy throws at me. And so the band's going to come back up to the stage here, and they're going to sing two songs. And during these two songs, I know this is probably really weird for you, I want you to respond. I want you to respond to the challenge today. To say, yes, Lord. Yes, I am going to be a kingdom worker. Yes, Lord, I am going to embrace a kingdom mindset. Yes, Lord, today I choose you, and every day I choose you. Every day I'm going to prioritize the cause of the kingdom. Every day, I'm going to prioritize the mission of Christ. Every day, I'm going to live with you as the center of my life. Every day, no matter what, no matter what the enemy throws at me, no matter what challenges I may face, I choose kingdom over self. I'm going to make that commitment before God. I'm going to make that commitment before my church body. In front of my friends, in front of my coworkers. So during these next two songs, I want to encourage you to worship. I want to encourage you to sing. But I also want to encourage you to make your way to one of these crosses and grab a piece of duct tape. You can put it on your phone, put it on your Bible, you can fold it up and put it in your pocket and take it somewhere and put it in your house that you'll see it. But I want you to commit today to kingdom work. To a kingdom mindset. Because if this entire church chooses kingdom over self, if we choose kingdom mindset over selfishness, if we prioritize the cause of Christ above everything else, this church will change Muhammad, it'll change our world, and our King will be glorified above all things. So let's pray, and the band's going to sing, and just during these next few songs, you can make your way to the cross if you've got a piece of ducting. If and only if you commit to that mission and that cause. Let's pray.